Positive Chaz podcast from Monday, May 16th. And I'm so crazy, over the top, excited. On with us this morning, we have the NFL's Joe Jackson. He's an evangelist, and he has played a number of years with the Jets and the Minnesota Vikings. He's an English teacher and graduate of New Mexico State University, but he grew up in Cincinnati. Joe, you've been busy. Well, you experienced a side of life that a lot of us will never see. And you were featured on ESPN, for instance, and we're watching it. So to get a chance to see what life is like through your eyes, let's just sort of talk a little bit. You're from Cincinnati.
You know what? I was born and raised in Cincinnati, and I am a Midwestern guy, or rather Midwest. And I ended up at New Mexico State. I was hoping to go to Ohio State, but I wasn't recruited by Ohio State. So I ended up at New Mexico State and did not like it. It was so different. You know, I never even had a taco before, never had Mexican food before. So it was a transition that I stubbornly made, and I wanted to leave New Mexico State. I probably was just homesick, you know, first time away from home, 18 years old. But I stuck it out, and it was part of my destiny, and I thank God that I didn't quit. So I learned a lot of life lessons from my experiences that I've had, and hopefully I've grown and, you know, shaped my life to be the kind of person I am today.
Thumbing through your book and looking at the foreword, for instance, Joe Namath, George Foreman listed in here. You said something a minute ago about being homesick.
Right.
How did you develop your self-esteem? Because you went on and you did all these great things and met all these great people.
Well, I'm the least likeliest person to ever do anything like that, because I had such a issue with my own self-esteem, lack of it. And I don't know, for some reason it happened. I think early in life, I formulated, my own opinion that I didn't have a lot of value. I was always the biggest kid in the class. I was sort of clumsy. I guess I didn't like myself because I was different, you know, and I thought different was weird. And I thought different was something that was not appealing. So I struggled with my self-esteem. I struggled with fear. And it was a journey that I had to overcome, because, you know, you don't know anything in terms of what's going to happen in the future. You just, you know, kind of live day by day. And my world was sports, athletics, and music. Those are two things that I did like. But it was a journey. I thank God that I didn't quit. I thank God that I persevered. And Championship Sunday is not so much about a football game or athletic pursuit. It's about being a champion in life in whatever you do. And the road is not going to be easy. There's going to be hurdles. There's going to be pitfalls. There's going to be times that you listen to the wrong voice that just says, quit, give up. It's not your day. It's not for you. But if you hold on to that dream and you become a prisoner of that dream and just persevere, and thank God I didn't persevere. I've learned a lot of life lessons from sports especially.
You mentioned that you were different. Is your different than what we all experience?
Yeah, and that's just that everybody is different. But I interpret my difference as ugly, as weird, because I measured my value in the eyes or from perspective of my peers. You know, like I said, everybody was like a slim size, you know, for pants. And I was never slim. It was always slim, regular, husky. And I always seemed to get the husky. And so I guess wanting to fit in, wanting to be like everybody, wanting to be loved, even though I got affirmation from my parents that I was special, that I was indeed loved, yeah, I thrived in terms of what my peers thought about me. You know, parents, that's great. That's their job. They're supposed to tell you that they love you. But when my friends thought I was special or unique, that meant the world to me. So I just really thrived and did things that would hopefully win their approval instead of making good choices.
Did that ever, when you were a teenager, compel you to kind of go out and do things that kind of what kind of get the cops involved? It's like, uh-oh. It's like getting a little bit of trouble here and there, trying to get mom and dad's attention. Was that part of it?
Well, you're reading my mail now. just a blessing and a miracle that I came through a turbulent time alive because of the choices that I make. And I tell young people, you know, you're free to choose. You can choose whatever you want to do, but remember, your choice will always pick your consequence. And my choices, some of them were brutal. And it's just amazing. I'm amazed at God's grace and God's mercy and God's love to allow me to walk around the block, you know, walk the wrong way before I found the right way. And I mean, because many of my friends, you know, they made choices too, and they paid for it with their life, with their in times of being, or rather, opportunities for being incarcerated, not fulfilling, you know, their destiny, and walking the streets, drug addicts, and I just thank God for His grace and mercy. I'm so blessed, grateful. Grateful man am I.
You've accomplished things a lot of us would dream of. You are the center stage. Where does God come in? Because what were you missing?
Well, you know, that's the lie that we all have to struggle. Those of us who are entertainers, athletes, you know, even politicians to a certain degree. But me, I formulated that years ago because I was walking out for football practice as an 18-year-old freshman on the campus of New Mexico State. And this kid named Ken Johnson told me that God loved me and had a great plan for my life. And so my perspective is based on the spiritual significance of my life and that God has a plan. And yes, these things are nice. Don't get me wrong. I really miss football. I wish I was playing today. I wish I could have another go around at it. I only played 8 years. And, you know, it has nothing to do with the money these guys are making, although they're making a lot of money. But the fact that you live the dream, the fact that you've experienced something that you love, that you have a passion for. But when you look at it from the big picture, God had a plan for your life, and you have to have balance in your life. If you don't have balance in your life, then you know, you won't find a real purpose. You won't find real identity, because the things that you talk about, the things that you see on television, let's face it, man, many of these are superficial, and the flesh is, you know, you have to keep the flesh under check, because if you don't, like I talked about earlier, you will not have balance. You will lose your focus. You will lose why you do what you do. So it's all nice. Don't get me wrong. It's a great life. It's living a dream. But why do you do it? why do you do what you do? And that's the answer that you need to realize in whatever you do.
Yeah.
And not only a professional athlete.
We're catching up with the NFL's Joe Jackson. The book is called Championship Sunday. It's an uncommon pursuit of a dream. And, you know, Joe, it's kind of a cool thing here yet, because it feels like there was a recurring theme through the book. You can't do anything about the past, but you can learn from it.
Yeah, true. You wish you could have an eraser and get a do-over. But you get one shot in life. You know, you get one shot in life, and you know, you make mistakes, you learn from them. You hopefully will be a better person as you go through something, as you go through a trial, as you go through a difficult season. And that's what we need to realize, that most of these things are just for a season, and it's just for a purpose. You know, I was left at the altar twice by the same woman, and my heart was broken in 1,000 pieces. And I didn't think that life was worth it. I thought God had turned his back on me. But it was just the opposite. You know, he was always there. He was perhaps saving me from something that wouldn't be good for me. That was not part of his plan for my life. And so I learned from that. And it's just so many valuable lessons that you learn, not so much in a classroom, but you learn through life. You know, if you're open, if you're sensitive, if you're receptive, you know, to to the bigger plan. And it's not just the moment. It's not the now. It's the big picture. So, you know, I've come through a lot. Hopefully I've learned a lot as well.
Yeah. Potential and talent are really overrated. I have never heard. I don't know if that's one of those things you're telling ESPN, you know, but what does that mean?
Potential is great. Having talent, obviously, you know, you want that. But let's really look at why things happen in life. You know, it happened because you have a passion. You're willing to work hard. You're willing to sacrifice. You're willing to pay a price. Potential is just like a toolbox. You know, the tools are there. Everything is there. I was a guy that was said had all the tools. But if the toolbox is not open, it's not really utilized to its fullest measurement, to its fullest potential, then that's all it is. I mean, you know, potential has never saved anybody in a courtroom, a hospital room. It's great to have, but you need to make good choices with potential. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm glad to have talent. I'm glad to have quote-unquote potential. But you need to utilize and recognize what you have and why you have it and what the purpose is for. So basically, that's all I'm saying. There's a lot of cemeteries and prisons that are filled with people that had potential. I have a message, too, that I have been able to speak into the hearts and minds of young people as well.
A lot of the conversation this morning, things that you learned along the way. Did the NFL prepare you for evangelism?
I think everything in life is preparatory. You know, if you just look for the steps and the signs, the NFL prepared me in a way that you might not think. You know, it just basically allowed me to be in front of people to a certain degree, interviews. I had such a fear of public speaking. I had such a fear. I mean, if I would have did this interview with you, you know, 20 years ago, I wouldn't have slept a wink.
Wow.
Because I had such a fear of just saying, hey, what do you know? My name is Big Joe in front of someone because I just did not have the confidence. It was a real thorn.
Yeah.
Like Paul had a thorn in his side. I had a thorn. I had just a wedge that just kept me in my place because, and yet in my spirit and in my life, I wanted to do that. You know, I hear a guy like you that's so smooth, you're a great talker, you're confident. I said, God, I'd like to be like Chris. I'd love to do that, you know, but yeah. I try it. I fail, start stammering, stuttering. It was just so. As far as the NFL taught me a lot of life lessons, like never giving up, finishing strong. Those are things that you learn. You get knocked down, you get back up. We did a drill. I had a coach named Buddy Ryan. Buddy Ryan was a great defensive guru. And after practice, we would do something called ups and downs, almost 100 ups and downs after practice. You know, you fall down, get back up, fall down, get back up. And we just hated them. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would rather do sprints, you know, duck walk, anything, stadium stairs, and ups and downs. Hated ups and downs, but there you go, a life lesson, you know. You get knocked down, you get back up. One, you get back up. So I guess the NFL prepared me, I guess, for life, knowing that life is not fair. Life is ups and downs, and you just get back up and you live and you fight another day.
On with Joe Jackson, played with the Jets and he played with Minnesota Vikings. The book is called Championship Sunday. Joe, you pretty much segued. You moved on from the NFL and you're doing evangelism now. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing and how do we catch up with you?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I had a teammate named Wally Hilgenberg. He's a great Minnesota Viking linebacker. And he asked, we had a Minnesota Viking Bible study. I was not playing then. I just retired. And instead of going to the Bible study, he suggested that the group attend a gospel concert. So we all went to the concert. It was a concert featuring a little 4'11" singer named Evie Turnquist. So I never heard of her, but we went to the concert. Wally Hilgenberg introduced me to the promoter that he knew. And I used to sing, I used to sing at practice or after practice, myself and Fred McNeil. So Wally said, "You got to hear this guy sing, you know, blah, blah, blah." I said, "Wally, be quiet. I was embarrassed. So anyway, talked to the promoter. She said, "Well, you know, when you retire, give me a call." Actually, no, I was not retired. So she said, "Give me a call, you know, if you ever want to do anything with gospel music." So anyway, that's how I got a connection. She introduced me to Bill Gaither. I got to sing with the Gaithers, then did some stuff with the Imperials, Andre Crouch, people like that, because this happened to be the largest Christian gospel promoter in the Midwest. So I did music for a lot of years, and I remember there was a transition period when a pastor said, "Hey, Joe, what's the title of your sermon this morning?" This was a Sunday morning. I was in ministry. I said, "Sir, I don't have a title. I don't preach." He said, "Well, I don't want a preacher in my pulpit. I mean, a singer in my pulpit. I want a preacher." I said, "Oh, my goodness." So that gradually made the transition. But that's all God. If God would have called me and said, "Listen, I want you to preach right away," I would have ran from that as far as I could. But he called me, and he said, I'm gonna call you to something that you love, which was music. And from that transition, I have been an evangelist and became the evangelist of the largest Assembly of God church in America with Pastor Tommy Barnett, and served there for over 25 years as church evangelist. And high schools, you know, by the grace of God, done over 3,000 high schools, junior highs. And it's just an unbelievable, miraculous miracle or work that God has done in my life. And I pretty much travel as an evangelist. And so that's where God has me right now.
Joe, you've done so much, and you chronicle a lot of this inside of your book, and there's a lot of surprises in here yet, too. You know, because I was surprised to see Snoop Dogg in there. So, you mentioned Snoop and a few other names.
No, I was more surprised because we had heard, well, this is at the Super Bowl Gospel Choir, where the NFL has a gospel choir that we perform just prior to every Super Bowl. And this was in Minneapolis at Bethel College. That's where we had the concert. And this was only 3 years ago, 4 years ago. And there was a rumor, "Hey, man, Snoop's going to be here. Snoop's going to be here at a gospel concert. Come on, this guy doesn't sing gospel. He doesn't sing anyway. He raps." So, you know. And lo and behold, I'm walking around the corner, and there's Snoop Dogg. I said, "Hey, man, let's get a picture." Now, Snoop Dogg is not short. He's almost as tall as I am. He's at least 6'4". I said, "Hey, man, let's get a picture, Snoop." He said, "Yeah, brother, let's do it. Let's do it." So I wasn't going to put that picture in there in my photo section, but I did. But, Snoop got up there with, and he did a Christian rap, and he said he was going to release a new gospel album. And so I was shocked. I was shocked, but really a nice guy. I was, you know, my image of him is, you know, is what it is.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's funny. You can't think of Snoop Dogg now without Martha Stewart.
Yeah, Martha Stewart.
At least.
Now you see doing these commercials. So I don't know if Snoop would have went that route 15, 20 years ago. You know, the more commercial, you know, but he's in our homes almost every day because he does these, I don't know, some kind of beer commercials or something. But Martha Stewart, as you said, so.
Well, we had a chance throughout the morning to catch up with the NFL's Joe Jackson. The book is called Championship Sunday, and The Uncommon Pursuit of a Dream is the name of the book. And Joe, it could not have been a greater honor to catch up with you this past few minutes. And getting a chance to talk with you was just an honor just by itself. So thanks again for taking a few minutes today, sir.
Well, thank you.
One final question for you. How do we keep in touch with you on social media? Where do we find you? Where do we follow? The usual questions.
The usual spots, too. You know, Twitter, JoeJacksonMinistries.org, Facebook, Joe Jackson Ministries, Joe Jackson. Email, JOJK86@AOL.com, JOJK86@AOL.com. Love the opportunity to connect with some the churches in Toledo area. I would love to speak to your men, speak to your congregation, and just come and love you.
Well, Joe, thank you again. Excited to catch up with you again at some time in the near future. There's so much in this book. It just feels like 30 minutes just isn't long enough.
That was 30 minutes.
It's hard to believe, doesn't it? Unbelievable. Book is called Championship Sunday. So go on Amazon, all the usual places you would expect to see the book. Joe, thank you again for our interview this morning. Had a great time meeting you. Thank you, sir.
Love you. Thank you so much.